Good day, everyone. Welcome to the Bringing Inspiration to Earth show. To find out more about our upcoming shows or access to our more than 1,500 podcast episodes, visit our website at www.biteradio.me. Today, my special guest is Kate Montana, and we will be talking about her newest book, Cracking the Matrix, 14 Keys to Individual and Global Freedom. The wool has indeed been pulled over our eyes, blinding us to one thing that we need to see, the very real presence of a parasitic interdimensional intelligence that has negatively influenced every culture on Earth for thousands of years. A professional journalist specializing in the fields of psychology, spirituality, consciousness, alternative medicine, and health, over the years, Kate has written several extremely different books, an expose on social sexual manipulation called Gender Patriarchy and Sexual Mind Control, Breaking Free, a thorough explanation of the ego and the conscious state called enlightenment in the E word, ego, enlightenment, and other essentials, a feminist memoir, Unearthing Venus, My Search for the Woman Within, and a spiritual novel, Apollo. And of course, the newest book, Cracking the Matrix, 14 Ways for Individual and Global Freedom. Okay, so for more information, you can visit Kate's website, which is www.katemontana.com, and that's CATEMontana.com. Now that, I'd like to welcome Kate to the show. Good day, Kate.
Good day, Robert. Actually, it's always morning. It seems like it's always morning in Hawaii because everybody else is at the end of their day and I'm just starting.
I know. I mean, when I had my couple trips to Hawaii, it was such a challenge, the adjustment from the mainland to the islands.
I don't know. You know, I spent 30 years in the Pacific Northwest, and that extra 3 hours to the west was just, yeah, it's been interesting. But I wouldn't, oh, my God, I'm so happy I moved here. And how strange. The island called me. Hawaii was the last place on the earth that I ever thought I didn't even want to visit here, Robert.
Wow.
But I just figured it was, you know, one more despoiled paradise, and I just didn't want to see it. But when I was on my book tour for the E Word back in 2017, I was so done with the Pacific Northwest. And I was like, okay, well, where can I go? So all my talks and stuff, I scheduled at all the places I thought I'd want to live, like Boulder or Santa Barbara or Sedona or Santa Fe. Nothing called me. But I had a month off, and a friend invited me to Maui. And day three, the island was like, come home. And I was like, oh my God, Hawaii? But that was 7 years ago. Holy moly.
Wow. Yeah, it is such a beautiful place. And I know that every time I've been there, there's just such a connection to the earth in spirit there that I've never found anywhere else. So.
Neither have I, Robert. It's been a remarkable healing place. I didn't know I needed healing until I got here.
That always seems to be the way. Yeah, but you do get it. So, and that the ends certainly justify kind of how you got there. Okay, so let's start first of all. This is another one, as I mentioned in the introduction, another one of your very different books from what, you know, you and I have talked about in the past.
Oh, so, God, really?
I know. I mean, it was when I first read the information you sent, I thought, wow, this is from Kate Montana.
So, the spiritual bubble girl talking about
I know.
What a shocker, Robert. Well, what happened was COVID happened. 2020 happened. And, you know, I've been in the spiritual arena for 40 years and writing books about spirituality and enlightenment and consciousness. And I really thought I was on top of everything. But, you know, then 2020 happened and the world went nuts. And, you know, all of this totalitarian global mandate, shutdown, lockdown, it was like I looked around and I was like, I've missed something. There's something I'm not seeing. This is insanity. What is going on, really? And that's what basically popped my spirituality bubble, Robert, is COVID. I wanted to find an answer to what the heck was really going on behind the scenes. So I turned around and I started to, I didn't know any other word to describe what I was viewing other than evil.
Mm-hmm.
And so I started researching what we've called evil on this planet, which is about as far removed from any topic as I ever thought I would investigate in my life, because, most spiritual people have been rigorously schooled to only look at the light. Don't look at the dark. If you look at the dark, then it's going to take you over, because what you focus on is what you create. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
So there's this enormous program in the spirituality arena that is, don't look at the dark, only think positive thoughts. Get out of your body, go out there to God. The body is not where you want to be. Out there to the heavens in the higher realms is where you want to be. All of that stuff. And to turn around and to realize that is really part of the manipulation of the mind control and what is very definitely a matrix of illusion on this planet that is being perpetrated deliberately on humanity to get us to shut down our light and to lose our power. And so, what happened was, is I started my research. I tracked it back like 5,000-6,000 years. And Robert, every culture for the last 6,000 years on every continent on this planet has a name for this entropic, parasitic, negative influence, this non-human interdimensional force. And like the ancient Greeks called it, the archons, the voices and the influence of negativity and destruction. The Hawaiian kahunas call it the e'epa.
Mm-hmm.
Other Native American tribes on the mainland call these beings Wendigo or Witiko. The Tibetan Buddhists call them the hungry ghosts. And then, of course, Christianity labels this Satan or the devil. And so, and every other culture has named this presence and this influence. So I was like, wow, okay, well, if we've known about this for thousands and thousands of years and everybody knows about it, how come nobody knows about it?
I know because
you talk to, in polite conversation and go, hey, did you know there's a non-human interdimensional parasitic influence dragging humanity down into the pits of conflict and hell? And, they're going to call the men in the white coats. But the thing of it is, it's a hidden agenda. I mean, these are non-human, a non-physical presence, okay? So it's hidden by its very nature. And it's an influencer. All right, here's the cartoon image of devil whispering on one shoulder and one ear and then angel on your other shoulder whispering
right.
in the other ear.
Mm-hmm.
That's exactly what we're talking about, an influence. And the purpose of the influence is, number one, to be able to influence human beings to do this intelligence's bidding, which is create conflict, create pain and suffering, and sorrow, divide, violence, because these beings feed on life energy and especially emotional energy.
Well, it seems like they're very effective lately.
Do you think? That's exactly right. The world is going to hell in a handbasket, and so that's what got me going, what is real? What are we missing here? And, it's so funny because it's so out there. I mean, the Christians have been talking about Satan for freaking ever.
Mm-hmm.
Science, Hollywood is, when did Linda Blair, become possessed in The Exorcist? Was 76 or something like that?
Yeah.
I mean, Hollywood has been revealing this demonic, if you will, parasitic, if you will, vampiric, if you will, presence. But here's the deal. All the Hollywood pictures terrify you. If you're a normal human being, it scares the crap out of you, excuse my French.
Mm-hmm.
And so who wants to look at that except in the movies?
Yeah.
I'll look at it in the movies, but it is so terrifying to my being that I'm never going to look at it in real life. And I dare not even begin to believe that it might be true and real. And then the other side of the coin is Christianity has turned this presence into something so ludicrous, the horned red demoned devil with horns and a horned tail and cloven feet, and it's made it bizarre. So that, anybody born since the age of reason in the 1700s is going to dismiss the devil as, ludicrous superstition. So we ignore it out of, it's made silly and surreal on one hand, and we ignore it because it's too scary to look at on the other hand.
Yeah.
So that's how this influence has remained hidden for thousands of years.
Yeah, kind of hidden. In plain view.
hidden in plain view. Absolutely.
Yeah.
Like any shaman, I spent a lot of time down in the Amazon, in Peru and in Ecuador, working with shamans. And every real shaman that I've ever, who is traditionally trained from childhood onward, knows about these beings, deals with them all the time. Understands that everybody on the planet is influenced and has been infiltrated by these energetic beings, these energetic parasites, that whose function is to drive us into lower frequency emotions, despair, guilt, shame, self-hatred, jealousy, anger, all of those things upon which they feed.
Yeah.
I mean, it's truly, truly a parasitic situation.
Yeah. Well, I think people have realized that there is a dark side. And like you said, some people don't choose to look at it,
yeah,
even though it exists.
Yeah.
And, the idea of putting it in the sense of interdimensional energy or energetic kind of force makes it easier to comprehend. The idea that it's far-reaching and global in scope.
Can I give you an example of how it works?
Please.
Influence. Okay.
Yes.
Because, we go, okay, influence, okay, something that gets inside us, that whispers to us, that makes us do bad things so that it can, feed on horrible emotions. Okay, well, that's one thing. Here's how it works. Way back in 235 A.D., St. Augustine of Hippo came along, and he was a bigwig in the early Christian church, and he was the one responsible for introducing the concept of original sin into the Catholic credo. And so, of course, original sin is the belief that because you're born into a body, you are innately corrupt. You're innately filled with sin. You're innately violent, corrupted, greedy, untrustworthy animal. Okay? That's the gig. That's what original sin tells us. So Augustine, it turns out, Augustine of Hippo, he was the son of a pagan dad and a Christian mom. And he was quite the reprobate growing up. He was apparently a drunk and a womanizer, and his mother despaired of his soul at a certain point. And then one day, Augustine ran across, probably in a drunken stupor, the teaching of Manichaeism. So Manichaeism comes from the prophet of Babylon, Mani, who was hanging out in Babylon around 125 AD, something like that. And Mani was the first person who talked about original sin. And so he was the one that gave Augustine the idea. Well, Augustine, goes, oh, my God, this makes so much sense. This is why I'm such a bad boy. Because he's filled with guilt because his mother is, he doesn't want to hurt his mom, but he can't help himself. And so anyway, all of a sudden he goes, oh, my God, it was my body made me do it. My body is bad and corrupt and filled with sin. I got it. So the whole concept of Manichaeism resurrected out his whole consciousness. He got sober and he became a Christian, and then he started promulgating the idea of original sin, and then he became Augustine of Hippo, Saint Augustine, Christ is in the Catholic Church. And so for 1800 years humanity has been given, billions of people at this point have been saturated in the belief that they are bad, shameful beasts, untrustworthy animals of violence and carnal nature that needs to be, you know, whitewashed, that needs to be flagellated, that needs to be uplifted by God and redeemed somehow from their corrupt, fallen state. We've been believing that crap for 1,800 years. And we wonder why kids nowadays have self-esteem issues?
I know.
It's appalling. So shame and guilt are very low-frequency emotions. They're at the bottom of the consciousness scale. They're delicious food for interdimensional parasites to eat energetically. So we have 1,800 years of this programming that has been passed down now epigenetically for hundreds of generations, and it's epidemic in our whole society. So Augustine is the one that introduced that, but here's the question. Where did Mani, the prophet of Babylon, come up with the idea? As it turns out, Mani had something whisper to him at night. It was an invisible being that whispered and told him about the corruption of the flesh and how bad and saturated with evil the earth is. He called it his other self. He didn't know what it was, but it was a voice that whispered to him in the night incessantly until he became a religious fanatic and started preaching original sin that then is picked up by St. Augustine.
Wow.
Augustine then explained where Mani got it. He said an angel came to Mani. That was, Mani never said it was an angel. He said, I have no idea what this being is, but it won't leave me alone, and here's what it's saying. So that's the kind of influence that I'm talking about. Because if we look almost 2,000 years down the road from that one person influenced by that one voice in the dark of night has influenced this planet to an immeasurable degree of getting us to hate ourselves, judge ourselves, see ourselves as corrupt animals versus what we really are, which is pure beings, spirit beings of love. That is what we are, spirit beings of love. And, you know, in quantum physics even talks about, you know, that energy and matter are inextricably the same. E equals MC squared. Mass and energy are equivalent. So, you know, when we talk about the corruption of the flesh, we're talking about the corruption of spirit. And that's BS. But we believe this stuff, and it's our own belief because, Robert, we are the powerful ones. We are the beings of love and light. We are these amazing, powerful spirit beings, and we're the creators. So this negative parasitic intelligence, the archons, I like to go back to the Greek word and just call them the archons, they have no power whatsoever. They can't pick up a pencil, but they can influence us to lower our own light and to create philosophies and spiritual and religious teachings and ideas, philosophic ideas that are all about how bad humanity is. And we can eventually create this veil of shame where we have reduced our own being into these puddles of misery on this planet, popping Prozac every 5 minutes if we're not, you know, drugging up something or alcoholizing ourselves because we're in such despair about who we think we are. And it's been an inside job, a programming job, and that's why I call it the matrix of illusion. And we're perpetuating it and creating it. We're ensnaring ourselves. That's the agenda.
Yeah. So, and I like the term archons too, to describe this force. So the idea that this force influences humanity, and now you talked about the matrix. How do the archons, I guess, utilize the matrix for influence? Or tell us how that works.
Well, it's the consciousness of these beings is very low level, and they're very actually kind of binary, almost robotic. They don't have a life, they don't have a spirit. And what I've actually come to understand, which is really fascinating, Robert, is that You know, the whole thing about evil, religious and spiritual teachings tell us that everything comes from one source, the source of love and light, okay? Everything comes from God or cosmic intelligence or source intelligence, whatever you want to call it, label it, including evil. You know, torturing children and sex trafficking babies and is, you know, comes from love. And it's like, what? So, you know, I've myself, I don't know any thinking human being who at some point in time hasn't wondered, how the hell did, this makes no sense. How right. and why would a God of love ever create horrific things like satanic ritual abuse of children? Well, you know, so we have all these excuses, you know, personally, you know, all the spiritual stories that are created to try to explain the unexplainable, to try to explain the ludicrous. And it's, oh, well, we live on a prison planet and, you know, this is just part of the hell realm and we're being punished for our sins. Or, you know, this is spiritual evolution at work, and you have to go through all this horrible stuff to get higher up on the chain of being, of evolution. Okay, let me see. Reincarnation and, let me see. Oh, karma. Yes, you see, you've been bad in a previous life, so now you got to go through all these lower light things to be able to get back to the light. We've got all of these stories trying to explain how evil and torture and pain and suffering comes from a God of love or a source of love. It doesn't make sense. So what I ran across at one point is an amazing woman by the name of Jacqueline Hobbs. She's also known as Oracle Girl. I was listening to something she was recording she put out, and she just kind of like casually mentions, and oh, by the way, this interdimensional intelligence, this force we're all dealing with, it comes from another source. And then she went on and talked about something else, and I was like, and it just stopped me in my tracks. I was like, oh, another source? Oh, another source? Oh, my God, there's another source? You know, we're also monotheistically, you know, programmed to think that there's only one means one. It doesn't mean one or more. But the more I thought about it, I was like, that makes sense for the first time ever. We are these pure spirit beings of love that come from a love source. Life, growth, health, vibrancy, exploration, creativity, those are our essences. Those are our energy signature. Not pain, suffering, conflict, violence, and hatred. That comes from a different source altogether. So, you know, for going down this path that, God, I can't believe it now. It's like 5 years, Robert, since I started on investigating this.
Wow.
It has literally revolutionized my entire mindset, my entire, talk about cracking the matrix. It's just popped this illusion about so much of what's programmed into us from philosophy. I think, therefore, you know, the great philosophers of all time, they're all driving us into our head. It's all about head stuff and ideas, and you can twist the mind into infinite pretzels and get so confused and lost. Confused and lost. What a great place to make sure humanity goes into confusion, lostness, shame, degradation, self-hatred. That is the program. Everywhere you look, whatever the political system is doing, the economic system is doing, religion, spirituality, the educational process of dampening down all creativity and individuality in our children. All of these, the sexual programming, is all about us being degraded from who and what we really are and losing track of our spirit nature and the purity, the essence, the pure essence of our true being. That's what I mean by a matrix. So this influence has influenced until we live literally in an illusory world where we believe these horrible things about ourselves while we completely lose track of who we really are. Because if we know who we really are, Robert, and we are in our bodies in love, and we are in alignment with life itself, with nature, with growth and evolution. That's our nature. When we're there, we're untouchable. that's the whole thing. Is just people get so scared. Oh, I can't believe you're looking at all this dark stuff, and isn't it scary? And it's like, well, yeah, it was scary when I first started, but when I really got what we're dealing with, it has no power whatsoever, except what we give to it. We're the creators. We're doing it to ourselves. We've bought the program. When I got that, Robert, my whole life changed. When I got that I am really not this horrible, guilty person filled with, you know, that I should, the whole shame thing, the guilt, you just figure you're doing something wrong even though you're not, and you can't trust your own heart and your own intentions because, you know, you're really underneath all that, you're just a pile of poo. When I got that was a BS program I'd been sold and that I bought into and that I sold myself, the veil dropped. And all of a sudden, I'm left being who I really am, which is this pure being of love in a body, which is pure energy, also love. One with nature, which is also pure being, pure love, life, creation, joy, exploration, expansion. It's like, oh, so uncovering and turning and looking at this finally, Robert, has set me free. Me for the first time in my life, and for the first time in my life to trust myself, my being, because I'm a being of love. That's my natural habitat. And everything else that is telling me something else, that is making me believe something else, is not of love. It's not me. So making that distinction is like all of a sudden, I'm in my power. I'm in the power of love, and I'm seated in that. And anything that is not of love that comes at me, whether it's vaccine mandates or it's totalitarian regimes or it's sex trafficking of children or it's trying to convince me that, you know, everybody should be on a trans agenda, whatever out there doesn't feel like it's coming from love and from growth and health. Ah, now I can feel the difference. And I go, oh, that's not me. That's not human. That's not the pure love agenda. That's not where we need to go. So it's given me the power of discernment and choice for the first time in my life.
There's a lot of freedom in that.
Oh, God, Robert, it's a totally new world.
Absolutely. Now, in your book, you use the term assiduously programmed. And I had to confess, I had to look that up. And it means, you know, done with care and persistence. And, you know, I just found, for some reason, that phrase just felt right. I mean, it was the idea of done with care and persistence. And when you look at the things that have been happening, you know, out of that force, you can't help but recognize persistence. And then if you look carefully, you can see the art of the approach.
Yes, it is. Incredibly, it's so pervasive. It's so, you know, if you've seen have you seen the movie?
Yes, I have.
Mm-hmm. You know, there was such a huge response globally to that movie because the premise rang a bell in everybody's souls. It was like, something's wrong here. There's something I'm not seeing. And, you know, and then, you know, we're presented with we're in a computer program. We're living in a false reality. Well, that's exactly what we have created for ourselves is a false reality, a paradigm built around a complete misunderstanding of who we really are. Does the world around you, does the political situation, the economic situation, does it remind you that this is a creation of love?
Oh, no.
does it mirror that we're infinite beings, spirit and purity?
No.
It's the exact inverted opposite. It's the inverted pentagram. Truth is false and false is truth and black is white and white is black.
Yeah.
Everything has been twisted. That's the agenda. That's the matrix. That's the illusion.
You know, it's amazing to me how many or how easily even people can just accept that as truth.
Yeah. Well, we've been trained for thousands of years that we're worthless, that we're these animalistic creatures that need to be caged and controlled.
Yeah.
And whipped and beaten into submission so that we can be some semblance of useful. It's grotesque.
Yeah.
The twist is so grotesque, Robert, it actually makes me ill anymore to think that I used to have these programs, this influence in me,
mm-hmm.
energetically.
Mm-hmm.
My default was shame and guilt. Didn't matter how many books I wrote, how successful I was, how much money I made, how nice I was to people. Deep down inside, I thought I was a piece of crap.
Mm-hmm.
Somewhere in there, that was the default program. And that's what we're dealing with, a default program. Now, I would really like to focus on how to get out of this default program.
I would like to know about that, too.
Absolutely. And, you know, and here's the hard part. It's simple.
Oh, no.
I know. Oh, no, the simple word. Simple is so hard, oh, my God, in this world, because we've been forced into this matrix of complication. You know, we think that if it's complicated, that it must be important. No, if it's complicated and abstruse and unrealistic and convoluted, it's a mind you-know-what.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
I do know.
You do know. It's a mind you-know. And it's deliberate, and it's part of the whole thing. So what I've discovered, contrary to 40 years, oh, my God, and 30,000 hours of meditation or however many hours I spent with my eyes closed on a Zazen pillow, I've finally come to realize that the safe place and the expanded place is in my body, not out of my body somewhere split off. You see, this is how insidious it is. We're taught in spirituality to get out there to God. Well, get out there means that I'm divorced from my own being. I'm split.
Mm-hmm.
I'm automatically powerless. I can't do anything on this planet out of my body with my mind eyes closed,
mm-hmm.
which was part of the problem when I looked around in 2020. I was like, criminellies, I could go ahead and go meditate my way back into bliss and ignore all of this, but is that healthy?
Right.
Well, it is if you've been trained to think that everything out there in spirit land is good and everything on earth land is foul. Then you go, yeah, I'm justified. I'm just going to close my eyes and go into bliss, and I'm going to ignore all of this stuff because body bad, earth horrible, and I've been trained into that mindset. Oh, my God. So, sorry, I'm just on a roll here. So the answer is to get back in the body, is to spend time in deep silence with yourself. Again, this is what we're trained not to do. We're trained to be on our phones, in front of the screens, in front of the TV, with the radio on, whatever. I take a lot of time during the day, every chance I get, to walk barefoot outside, sit down under a tree, take 15 minutes, and just listen to myself, to my own being, tune into my body, breathe, feel my body, feel my butt sitting on the earth.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, what is the tree behind me trying to say? What is the wind trying to tell me? And the more I tune into my nature, which is life, which is pure love, which is the spirit of infinite potential. That's me. You know, Jesus said, and this is the quintessential teaching of all time, the kingdom of heaven is within. It's not outside. It's not with God. It's not with the angels. It's within you because it is you. You are the being of heaven and love. You are the angel.
Yeah.
So to get in touch with that frequency, that level of energetic expression immediately lifts us out of the matrix, because then we're operating as what we really are, spirit beings of pure love. We're resonating what we are, and nothing can touch that.
Yeah.
And so we're learning to tune in when we go quiet. Take 15, if you can only do 15 minutes, 10 minutes a day. This is flipping the program from I'm looking for external authority out there. Please, God, somebody give me the answer to this nutso crazy crap I'm looking at in the world around me. Oh, it's inside me. Oh, okay.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, I have to turn off my phone and go sit and be quiet and listen and tune within. because that's where all the answers and guidance lies. That's where freedom lies. That's where truth lies. And that is our inner compass that can guide us through what is truly the breakdown of an old regime, the old illusion, the old matrix. It's falling apart.
Yeah.
Because the earth love is rising. Our love is rising. It's like life is literally putting her foot down and going, no more. I will endure this no more. Get out.
Yeah. Now, it seems that for that anti-life force to exist and even strengthen, that there seems to be a need for some structure, or, you know, like, for example, maybe how religion or even spirituality can empower the anti-life force.
Mm-hmm.
Because it seems, you know, those were supposed to be beacons of light. You know, how religion or just even spiritual beliefs can empower that force.
Absolutely. It's all about external authority, Robert.
Okay.
Back to being assiduously programmed. We're assiduously programmed to look outside of ourselves for answers.
Right.
I'm going to look to my politician. I'm going to look to my priest. I'm going to look to my father, my mother, my history teacher, my geometry teacher, my physics professor, the media. I'm going to turn on CNN for answers. Oh, my God. This is what we've been trained to do. The kingdom of heaven lies within. All answers lies within. All guidance, all love, all truth lies within us. Follow your heart. Listen to your gut. Get out of the media. Get out of your, you know, I've lost my rhyme to Robert. You know, I've put the mind where it belongs. It's a tool.
Okay.
But it's a tool that can be so abusive and so twisted and so confusing. The mind is the last place to find answers. Last.
Wow.
I know. You see, this is what I mean. Everything
is
upside down.
Yeah, very much.
So, you know, so the simplicity of going back, turning off the phone, getting away from screens as much as possible, get on the earth as much as possible, and get into silence and listen and just be with your own heartbeat. And ask for guidance. If you don't know where to go, you know, do I take the shot? Do I take this? The answer lies within.
Yeah. So when it comes time to actually seeing or experiencing this force, what has been your experience in recognizing it or seeing it or confronting it?
Yeah. Okay. Well, you know, it's so interesting because I knew about this influence as a little kid.
Mm-hmm.
I saw things, but there was no external validation for it. So then I forgot about it. When I started meditating, when I was 30, that's when I was the material girl until I was 30. And because I bought the program, it's about a good education, lots of money and having a fabulous career and, you know, getting that house on whatever. And, you know, and it brought me no satisfaction and certainly no peace and happiness. And so at age 30, I turned within and I started to meditate. And the more I meditated, and, you know, I usually go at things kind of exponentially. So I quit my job in network television and I went to go live in a one-room cabin in the woods in North Georgia in the mountains. And I just meditated like 6 hours a day. And I cracked through, you could say I cracked my kundalini, and I started having all these out-of-body experiences. And I started being visited by all these demonic beings that would throw me into hell realms and graveyards, and beasts would come at me in the middle of the night. All these astral entities would attack me. It was terrifying. I had no context. I had no understanding. I had no training. And so I shut the psychic door down as fast as I could, just for sanity's sake. So I could see these entities as a kid. All the kids, animals see these entities.
Mm-hmm.
But they're obviously non-physical. So you've got to have some sort of spiritual eye. You know, as I say, every shaman worth their salt that I've ever worked with knows and identifies these beings. It's like it's a no-brainer for them. They're like, why the hell haven't you guys been dealing with it? So then I was introduced to, you know, astral entities and attack when I started to open up spiritually. And, you know, for a long time it was a battle, which is, and I really want to stress this, is that fear makes us fight. Fear makes us want to turn and you know, have the battle of good versus evil. Oh, my God. This is another program to keep us in conflict. These entities have no power, but we give them our fear. We give them our power. So when I finally understood what this was, I was like, oh, the answer is within me. All I have to do is get in touch with my own love and the power of life itself, the life force that I am. Oh, my God. We're untouchable when we're in tune and in touch with who, what we really are, spirit, love, life, creation. When we vibrate at that frequency, when we're seated in our own power of who we really are, we're untouchable. And what happens is that all of that negative influence, it just falls away. It just goes away because there's no entry point.
Yeah.
There's no similar, I'm not vibrating at fear or anger or violence or jealousy or blah, blah, blah. So there's no doorway. There's no pathway in anymore. It's really quite stunning. And, you know, one of the things that I know that is so terrifying, looking at where the earth is going, where the politics is going, where wars are going, where economics are going, where AI is going. I mean, we're just being bombarded with all of this crap that's going on. And it looks like the whole world is falling apart. And it is. The old illusion, the old matrix is falling apart because the love vibration on this planet, the frequency is rising in people like you and me and people listening to this podcast. We are tuning back into what we really are. It's like we're life itself going, enough. I'm not going to play this stupid game anymore.
Yeah.
I'm going to be who I really am. And this is an unconscious rising, but it's happening fiercely, and we're becoming more conscious of it. I'm not the only person out there talking about this.
No, but it's, you know, it's wonderful to have that awareness and be able to contextualize things that are happening and get drawn in to the plan, so to speak.
Yeah. Absolutely. And so, you know, so many people I know are horrified, terrified of what's going on around them in the world. And all I can say is be at peace because this is good. What is happening is love is forcing all, it's like popping a zit. I'm sorry, but it's like what it is. It's like it's forcing all the crap to the surface to be seen, washed away, and dealt with. Bye-bye.
Well, I'm going to have that visual from now on. Thank you.
Yeah, I'm not playing that game anymore.
Yeah.
I'm no longer confused about who and what I really am. I'm not buying the program anymore. And then we just move on into our own new heaven, the new earth has long been prophesied, Robert.
Yeah.
And this is its coming.
Yep. Now, we're almost toward the end of the show, Kate.
Yeah.
But I do want to have you maybe talk just a little bit. Now, the subtitle to your book, Cracking the Matrix, is 14 Keys to Individual and Global Freedom.
Yes.
So can you tell us just a little bit about the keys? You know, what are they? Are they things that people can implement in their lives to make them...
Absolutely. It's each chapter ends with a prompt, an exercise to be able to empower yourself to become who you really are. You know, here's the whole thing. You can't become who you really are. So, you know, some of the keys are walk away from all of these external practices that say you've got to do this mantra or this chanter. These are all externals. And, you know, it's about becoming Christed or becoming the higher self, becoming enlightened. Wait a minute. How? I'm already a being of pure love. I'm already spirit. I can't become what I already am. So, you know, so many of the keys are about turning away from false programs.
Right.
Shining a light on what is not about love that we have been programmed into. And over again throughout the keys, I always go back to take time to be in silence. Take time to be in nature. Take time to be without your phone and with yourself. It's crucial. Because that is our compass. That is our safe haven. It's the last place we've been trained to look, and it's the only place we need to go.
Absolutely. Well, Kate, this has been a wonderful conversation. I know from this point forward, I will be looking for those archons.
Don't look for them. Don't look for them. Just look within your own being, in your own heart, for your own love, and it shines from within you. And then the rest will take care of itself.
Okay.
There's nothing in doing battle. Oh, I've got to and protecting yourself. No, you have to be yourself. That's your protection. There's no fighting, because fighting is you know, the good versus evil. That's the program.
Yeah.
Fighting and to be in conflict and to do battle. They love battle. Oh, they they've lived for thousands of years on battle energy.
Yeah.
So no.
And it's so tiring. You know?
It's exhausting.
Yeah, very much.
Absolutely.
Well, Kate, this has really been a delightful conversation. I want to thank you for your time and talking to us about your new book.
Thank you, Robert. I really appreciate you having me on the show again.
I know. I'm kind of hesitant to think of what you could do next.
Oh, well, there's one already in the hopper. I'll let you know about it.
I had no doubt whatsoever. So, but I won't even begin to guess until it shows its light through you. So.
Oh, one thing I'd like to mention, Robert, real quick, is I'd love people to check out my Substack. I write an article every week that's all about all of this and then some, and it's cmontana.substack.com.
cmontana.substack.com?
You got it.
Okay. Great. Well, I'm going to check that out. I've never really done Substack, but I think this is worth for me signing up and looking at that. So
it's you know, people can sign up for free, and all my content is available for free.
Well, great. Well, thank you very much for your time today, Kate.
You're very welcome, Robert. You take care. Much aloha.
Thank you. Again, everyone, today my special guest has been Kate Montana. We've been talking about her new book, Cracking the Matrix, 14 Keys to Individual and Global Freedom. And again, you can find out more by visiting Kate's website, which is www.katemontana.com. And everyone, I want to thank you for joining us for this edition of the Bringing Inspiration to Earth show. And remember to be a bright light in bringing inspiration to your world and to the lives of those you touch.